The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hi, welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 214. I'm joined by my two co-hosts who got here in very different ways. Birdie Falcon drove up the ice road for 4 hours, working a shift just to get a 40k codex, while sipping a margarita and cruising around the Cayman Islands is Mr. Val Heffelfinger. These are the members of the 40k adjacent show. Falcon, how are you?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I only make cash deposits to my offshore bank accounts.
How are the Caymans this time of year?
In the Caymans. Yeah. I imagine they're always nice, Rob. I'm pretty sure that's the thing about the Caymans.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Unless they're being hit by a hurricane, in which case, less nice.
They're just very small alligators.
Do they?
No, Caymans. They're just very small alligators. Oh. Like, hurricane's going to fuck them right up.
FRD.
Hello, gents. Welcome to the show. Hello, everyone live on Twitch. Thanks for joining us, or Facebook, or YouTube, or wherever you're watching from right now, because you can be watching from all of them. And in fact, also Twitter, which is weird, as I know Val and Falcon are big on the Twitter now. I even got a like off the Falcon yesterday, or the other day, which
you
I was
did.
Happy about that. Very
wait,
happy.
Wait, my wait, Twitting is very poor, but I know how to hit that heart.
I have a question. I'm going to look like a penis now.
There we go.
What? I lost it. Fuck, I do this all the time on the show.
Oh.
My mind is a piece of garbage. I'm sorry, guys.
Y'all know me.
Y'all know me. You don't even know me.
If you listen to the podcast, this might go off the rails very quickly. I would like to know that.
What? How's everyone doing? What? How? Huh? What? Robert.
Yes, sir.
How are you? No one ever asks you how you are, or at least I don't.
It's a bad day to ask because as I said previous to the show, not 100% certain I don't have the Rona right now. I've got a fop sweat and I woke up early. So I'll be booking myself a test later today. But other than that, like, fine, really. I've been loving life. Did two shows yesterday, which I really enjoyed. Did the Army Painter show with Mr. Adam Abramovich on Friday.
That was amazing, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. I think mainly it was down to Adam's guest list and less to do with anything I did. But
I don't know.
So were you just riding shotgun the whole way through?
That's
and fun.
Listening to Painter's Talk, which probably of all the people to do that.
like me, Rob, you need to understand something. Because of that stream, I was able to watch Ozark. Because without it, like I've needed to fill my life with so much wholesomeness because of just how bad the world's been the last like 6 months. So I've been only watching shows that make me feel good, like Schitt's Creek, Dairy Girls, Kim's Convenience, just shows that make me feel good. Hmm. And then watching you with Adam talk to all those lovely people and then just being overwhelmed by that lady from Newfoundland who has to be the absolute most wholesome person in any hobby. It was like she was giving you the Care Bear stare. Like 100% you were sitting there and she just blew you away with how competitive Gargants are and just her knowledge of them. And
there's a nice lady from The Rock as well.
Yeah, she's from Newfoundland. So I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, I've handled it. This is my wholesome quota. I'm overfilled with it. Like, I was able to watch Ozark, not even feel a little sad or bad about all the bad things that were happening. I was really into it. So thank you for that, Rob. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. for getting destroyed like that little grimy dude in Care Bears like every episode.
I feel
What's
like
his name?
I feel like I'm Pollution, and then she just came out with the heart ring from Captain Planet, and she just hit me with love.
Beastly, there we go.
Beastly.
But in truth, I hate her. I don't. She was
now
lovely.
I feel like you're No Heart. That's the guy's name, right? Bad guy was No Heart.
No Heart, yes.
Yeah. What a thing. Yes. What a stupid name. Kids are
and
dumb.
He had two, and he also had two children henchmen. That's what I was like. Okay. What's going on there, No Heart?
Is that what happened? They had children henchmen.
Yeah,
well, No Heart did, right? He had Beastly and two children that like helped him out, right?
Well, Beastly and the girl. She was mean girl, and they drove a pedal powered ornithopter.
Mm. Yep, there we go. Mm-hmm. Just like Rob does.
That's how I imagine he gets around.
Yeah. It's just an ornithopter.
I'm going to ask you both a question. I don't imagine this has reached you, Falcon, about an inner city craze that's occurred. But I want to say thank you to Grinaldi and Squinty Hugh for subscribing. Val, on your journeys to work, have you seen, is there a big, large uptick in, at one point we would have called them yuppies, but I'm not really sure what to call them now. But inner city folk on scooters. Inner city folks on scooters, has this become a thing?
Hold up a tick. I just want to call out the fact that there was once a derisive term for douchey urbanites known as yuppie, and yuppie has evaporated. I feel like it was a derogatory term for baby boomers, well-to-do, well-heeled baby boomers, but it no longer exists. And to answer your question, yes. And I am routinely upset by people who wheel by me on clearly 21st century modes of transportation, be they those or like a legitimate friggin' mono wheel just like past me or is like standing next to me at a stoplight, and I try and engage with them and I say, hey man, what a cool piece of futuristic technology. Perhaps I'll ask, what kind of range do you get on that? To which they will maybe go and then just into the distance and they don't talk to me.
It's when you open the car door real fast as they go by. They love it.
I guess it's because I'm speaking down at them from my very, very large SUV. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. I don't.
Maybe. Could be. Now, when we say scooter, are we referring to mopeds? Like
no, like as in no, as in the you would put one foot on and you would push. So skateboard with a stick.
Oh, like what my kids go around on. No,
a razor scooter.
Don't do that here.
Yeah, but they now have become motorized. So like because of COVID, no one can get anywhere, so everyone's scooting.
I have a friend who literally she has a like back injury her knee. She has like her knees started hurting her too much. She couldn't cycle to work anymore, and so she got herself a electric scooter. And she's a teacher, and she like scoots into work every day. It's a pretty good distance too. And when I was in San Diego, they have there's like one of those disruptive Silicon Valley type apps, but it's attached to these electric scooters, and they have like a GPS transmitter, so you just like walk and you pick up a scooter and you press a button on your app and then you scoot away. But then whenever you get to where you're going, you just discard it on the fucking sidewalk like a piece of trash. So there's just these mounds of like electric scooters all over the place in San Diego. It's bizarre.
Do you think, this is the question, do you think that might be the next Space Marine race? Fast Born attack again, scooter child. Units.
Oh wow!
Yeah. It will have the vehicle keyword, unlike the ATV,
which is not a vehicle, no. And also not ATV. Well, it's not.
No,
it's not A.
It's not an all-terrain vehicle. That's for sure. They definitely did not know what the acronym meant when they put it together.
No. There hasn't been an actual Space Marine Codex pack yet, has there?
No, but it should be coming.
4 weeks.
How much? How much? Think.
Time. Yeah, 4 weeks. They've extended it, doubled it, in fact.
Because they have to like go to the email box from the playtesters that they never look at. Blimey, there's 60 unread messages in here.
Again, just just would like to just comment on how much I love the Val character arc in the 40K Jason show, from excited enthusiasm to now like salt mine extraordinaire.
I brought a little bit of this gloomy dark cloud ragging on the poor studio to Chapter Tactics last night. And I think I got so dark and stormy that that Scary just didn't know how to cope with it, and just I realized he hadn't talked for like 15 minutes. So I was like, "Whew, should probably dial it back. Probably bring a little positivity into this scene."
Pete, how have you been? Because you haven't had much sleep.
I mean, no, sleep isn't something I've had. I too thought I had the COVIDs. I got the test. I do not. I just got a cold. So last 3 or 4 days were kind of a little bad for me on the sleep side and all the other sides. Just living my dream. I've actually been really hopeful for 40K. I've kind of turned, unlike Val, I went the other way. I was going down and it was really sad because of like how disappointed I was in the app. It really like wrecked all my confidence in life and pursuit of happiness. But now, you know, I dug so deep into the stats cesspool with Adam Camilleri and Josh Diffie and some other people, plus what I already had.
By the way. Way to cheat on me with a really, really good episode.
Was it good? I mean,
I loved it. It was fantastic.
I way overhyped Tyranids by putting them like a whole bracket higher than they should have been because of Eric Lathouris. But other than that, I felt pretty good about it.
And just so everyone knows, that's why Pete is so tired, because he can't sleep about the fact that he may have in his power rankings put Tyranids one tier too high.
Only one tier as well. And specifically the podcast you're talking about, because it is an excellent podcast, if you guys want to listen, is The Art of War 40K Down Under.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they just released their, it's I think an advanced level Man Read book, Man Reads book, but nonetheless is Man Reads book. They're crawling their way through. They're now on hour 3 and 4 of their combing through the Space Marines codex. But I've been, it literally put me to sleep last night. It was fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was good. Josh Diffie sent me like 17,000 games worth of data from BCP on top of the stuff I already had. And on top of the ITC Battles app stuff I had. So it was really good to be able to combine all that and kind of get an idea of where the game was at multiple different levels. So that was a really good podcast to just be on and have fun with the guys.
Any blowback? Any blowback anywhere on it?
Oh yeah,
I've heard nothing.
Well, I mean, who listens? To be fair,
no. Yeah, so it's true. But it was still a good time, and I felt pretty good. I feel pretty good about where 40K is at. There's like small, and I think I've always been saying this, but it feels like I've just been more dire about it. There's so many little small things that they can fix to make the game better, but they're small. So, I mean, Marines need toned down. That's a thing for sure. But like the three worst codexes, two of them are getting updated, or just were updated, right? So that's huge. Mm. So
yeah, I couldn't be in a more positive place. We did the kind of the review show, or our first review show of like a Night Dead book on Thursday, which was, I found quite challenging actually. And like we had like a long, me and Nick at least had a long chat by afterwards. And I was like pretty honest on it about the show. I was like, it just feels like everything kind of does something in this book and nothing really stood out, which actually, when I like unpacked that information like a couple of days later, I was like, I actually think it's a really good book, like really well done, and is good, because you're putting it into like a framework of the game, which previously, like, I like the game, I like the missions, I like the secondaries, I like the game, I think the game's great. I'm doing some terrain soon for the board. I'm very excited about that. And then hopefully just play more and more games. I don't really have a negative. The delivery system of the game has been truly atrocious. As in the app, the social presence, like everything around that has been awful.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The game is...
Well,
but the game
is a negative Nancy now.
I'm so sorry. But the game? Fuck yeah. That's a game.
Yep.
That's a thing. I'm here for it.
Five secondaries that need fixing. Mm-hmm. If they can fix those five secondaries in one way or another, I think we're A1 steak sauce there. And some kind of slight tweak to missions. I'm not even sure if it's necessary, but it'll help. And then I think the games are super good. And then in terms of factions, Harlequins need a little bit of a sack tap. Nothing crazy, just enough to slow them down. And Space Marines need a tap as well. And on the other hand, we Guard and like Craft World Eldar need help. And then I think we've got a really good game once all that kind of, if that can ever get settled, and we can fix like Inner Circle and Sanguinary Guard being like 18 points too cheap and stuff like that.
Can we, sorry, I've asked you.
No, I was just, and I literally talked over Scary last night when he made this point, which is like, oh, well, they're doing better. I'm like, no, sick of this. I've literally turned into Rob Symes. sick of this. I'm not letting them off the hook anymore because the friggin' chapter master stuff doesn't match the front and the back of the codex. And that's
chapter command is bullshit.
Maybe you guys are right. Maybe I should get back on the positivity train.
Well, no, because I think you're right. The stuff I don't even get involved in that conversation anymore. You know, some people are like, "Hey, Rob, you see this new thing about it?" Someone sent me the thing about like the app. Some of the information, but then that means all the information is in question and the app is fucking wrong. I've just blocked it out. It's just behind the wall for me now. I'm just like, people are like, do you want to talk about this part of the hobby? I'm like, nope, not involved in it. It's like when people ask me about Underworlds. They're like, Underworlds. I'm like, ah, fuck off. Go somewhere else.
Just check that, because that game does seem good. Although, I don't know if it is anymore. When I played it for 5 minutes, it was good.
Well, that's all you need. But like my point is like
painted half a Stormcast Eternal for that game. It was very satisfying.
They're kind of pretty models, right?
In some they're some super ways. Awesome. Yeah,
but like I want to just play really and like explore the game and see what all the factions are like against each other and enjoy myself. And there's some fun little stuff. I really enjoyed the Necron Codex at least. I enjoyed
Necron Codex. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So didn't I make this? I made this comment somewhere. I don't know where now, but like, what's up with Necrons? What's good? Anything? Is anything good in there? What's good?
Yeah. Close combat Necrons, I think, will probably end up being the way to go with a bunch of Scarabs. Scarab Swarms are very good for their points. The Chronomancer is super helpful for that too, giving everything like a 5+ in, or giving a unit a 5+ in bone. Got some other buffs going on in there. But yeah, I think like a kind of mid-table close combat Necron army is like the way to go. Maybe 20 or 40 Necron warriors, because you want to get stuff out of reanimation protocols. Mm-hmm. I don't think they hit the nail on the head with the like nobles and protocols as well. I don't think you actually need to run an army that even uses those almost at all. Yeah, it is a little unfortunate for that. But like overall, I think the Necron Codex is extremely strong and has like multiple ways to play. I've talked to like 6 or 7 like really good Necron players, and
where's your High Lord? I thought the High Lord of Terror guy would have had like a podcast out 5 minutes after launch, but I haven't heard about
Michael
yet.
Michael Timpe is really like, I've seen some of his ideas. He's got 3 or 4 really cool lists. If they didn't do it on this last episode, I imagine it'll be soon, where he kind of gives his full opinion. But you know, he's a thinker. He likes to sit and chew on things for a while. Goonhammer did a round table with Ulis Anders, who was like #1 Necrons last year, and they had Siegler on, and it was an interesting.
Yeah, what's with that? He even has a cartoon of himself as a Necron. What's going on here?
Well, they just do that. They like they have some pretty prolific cartoony drawers that just throw stuff up together once they know you're going to contribute like a month in advance. So
they're that frivolous that they'll just draw you as a Necron. Scribble.
Ryan's a Necron.
I only have one cartoon version of myself, although he's a much thinner version of myself. So I'm happy with that.
Can I just say that I'm a big fan of the like some of the bits I like about it is that there's some fun janky rules in there which like are really fun. Like I'm a big fan of the Psychomancer ability to make something not obsec, and it's like
that you is talk amazing.
Like and obviously the Nightbringer's baller and the Deceiver's baller, and there's like some cool mechanics in there as well, and I like that. Like Val as well. Like, have you got any thoughts about with Death Guard coming up? I'd like to see. I've said this before. I wouldn't mind seeing something like... Oh, go on, Val. What's up?
So I've been meaning, this has been an anecdote I've meant to say on the show forever, which is, here's a little speculaciones. Are Chaos Space Marines just normal CSM models in the Death Guard Codex?
No.
Fuck. Never mind. I was hoping that there were some common units in Death Guard to CSM that would cause
there
them
are
to
a couple.
Well, I'm just wondering if the reason Death Guard is there is because maybe they'll do the index thing to the CSM Codex.
I feel they will. It may not be as in depth as the Marine one was, but I do feel that's when we'll get our two wound Chaos Marines. They'll be FAQ'd then, with maybe a few extra FAQs just to make them either not broken if they think they're going to be busted at two wounds, like Plague Marines probably would be, and some others. But yeah, I imagine that's when they're going to do it. I imagine that's why we didn't get it at the same time as the Marines and FAQs, was to try and slow the roll and be able to see what it's going to do to the community.
So this is, okay, cool. So this is... So this is how we get our hopes up and are horribly disappointed when Chaos Space Marines
don't do that
stay
anymore.
One wound for a year.
No. The only thing that'll get me disappointed is if, just like the Necron Codex, the app has different points than the Codex for Death Guard. Because that makes me... Like, if you want to get a woosah moment out of me, just wait. Like, every time someone's like, oh, I just checked the app and the Silent King's now 700 points. And you're like, oh... Okay.
Adam,
and I feel, and I'm like, you know, guys, like, that's probably wrong. Like, the Codex, like, it's written on paper. Let's go with that. And then someone's like, well, the Codex doesn't have a keyword. It doesn't have the apothecary keyword for the Primaris apothecary, but the app does. So we're using the app for that. And then I just want to punch everything. That's like, that's like the moment where I'm watching like a stream and I'm like, you can't take both. And I just have this pumpkin, and I'm just like punching it off. You can't have it that way.
I would just love to see you angrily plunging your fist into a bludgeoned pumpkin, just continuously just stabbing it, just covered in pumpkin entrails.
Because how do the guys?
That's when I have to stop watching Ozark. Is when that happens.
Anyway. How do the guys who are doing the Man Who Reads book at length, like, deal with the incongruity between the how did anyone who read the Marine book like get to the front and then the back and be like, okay, so we're not really sure about this. You know,
I feel like it was a couple days until someone was like, anyone notice that these things don't line up? But maybe I'm wrong. I remember that was funny when it was discovered.
Nah,
can I just thank Tristan for joining Patreon? Thank you to everyone that's welcome to Patreon. Big love to you. And also thank you to Bolt for also subscribing. That is super lovely of you.
Bolt?
Yeah, D-Bolt. D-Bolt. Oh. I think he's French. I think he's actually Debouté.
Debouté? That makes sense. I feel it.
Also, Art of War Down Under host Adam Camilleri in the chat saw him a little earlier. We were plugging your show, pal.
Yeah, we were plugging your show.
We should get him on the show next week.
Or just a still photo of him. Either would work.
That's also one of them. well, I don't know what did you guys see. This is very adjacent, but still kind of Warhammery.
Have you
seen that they brought out a new? As of today, they've announced a new paint handle for Games Workshop. A new paint handle. It's got a particularly phallic look to it.
I was going to say, did they add a little girth for those who need more grip on their shaft?
It's more curvy. And also one of the I saw a post by one of the community team in response, like, oh, why has it changed? And they were like, it just gives a better hold in the hand. There's no way that doesn't ever work. There's not really much news when it comes to news.
There's a new chaplain. There's a new chaplain Terminator coming out for Warhammer Day, which is also known as Halloween here in North America.
Yeah. And also here. Did they decide that Warhammer Day was October 31st?
This year it is.
They have got, like, they are the most arrogant fucks in the world, aren't they? Like, as a company.
Once you hit that triple billionaire status, you do what you want, man.
I haven't looked at the market cap of GW in a while because every time I look at the stock, I cry tears. I cry tears because mistakes were made. But
if you'd like to go back to Stream Street, like episode 57.
If we could return.
Oh, wait. Val, is there a direct correlation between your investiture in the company in stocks and your positivity and then your non-investiture in stocks and stock price increase?
Listen.
A wolf of your street sort of situation.
It's a wolf of Butter Street? No. Just because I horribly misjudge what a global pandemic would do to retail sales doesn't mean anything.
I don't have anything to say.
Oh, did I cut you off there?
No, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, I did that earlier. Remember that?
Choo-choo!
We're like those adorable, like slightly larger than miniature train sets where you can kind of ride it. You know what I mean?
They are great. Yeah, we had them. Talking of fairs, you guys might or may not be interested, but unfortunately, in Nottingham, a bit of a tradition has ended. We have every year this thing called
Goose. Where's the painting dildo? I'm trying to find a picture of it. I can't find it anywhere.
Maybe on the community side?
Sunday preview?
No, it's later than that. Later than that. Rob, this show looks like a bad rapper about to drop the next hit on the Lancaster D-roll charts. I don't mind that at all. This show is the best show. oh, dear. I'm out. I got nothing to say, like, right now. I'm dealing with a fop sweat. Well, you got any thoughts?
Whew. Just gotta come up with something. Yeah, fop sweat, maybe. I don't know.
Is that like your forehead is sweaty? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, go on.
No, I was just going to be, is that like when you're like a courtier in 17th century France and you're like, your makeup starts to run? Is that like a fop sweat?
Recently, I've taken a particular like love-hate relationship with France. I'm not really sure why. Like really spicy lists. You know when a list is good, I've started doing a review in a French accent for some reason. Like it's that's like
sacre
bleu, 4-star. This got my seal of approval. But I don't think it sounds very French, so I think no one's particularly happy about that. I was telling you both. I don't know if you guys have any traveling circuses where you are, but we have one in Nottingham, which is kind of famous, called the Goose Fair, and it's been going for over 100 years. Many a year it's been going. And
I would hope more than 100 years. I feel like if you started a circus in 1920, you're probably behind the curve.
I agree, but continue.
Yeah. my question... it's been cancelled, and it's RIP'd. Oh. The streak has been done for the Goose Fair, which is sad. And as someone on a streak, I now can completely understand their feels. Cause
I guess
been...
they cooked their goose.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Which brings up the question of, what do you think the likelihood is that there will be any major events in the next 6 months? Because there's some... Is LVO still on?
LVO is still on.
Oh, okay.
I was just talking to Reese about this. There's a lot. It's going to not be. It can't be anywhere near as big as it would have been. There's going to be a lot of modifications. But currently, with the state of Nevada the way it is, as long as things don't get much worse, which I mean, right now it looks like they're getting worse. But LVO is currently
here, let me
still
just Google
like
how things are.
50-50, I guess is the way to put it. So they've still got it set to go, but I mean, it's not, I don't know like how super a major it will be. It's not going to be 600,000 people by any means. So potentially we get LVO and we'll get a few more GTs here and there from random places in the world that aren't as drastically affected as the United States and see where that goes.
I kind of like when I ever explained in Warhammer events to people, like, what I used to do, I was like, people at the minute, like, I'm not going to say where, but it's dating apps, but I won't say where. People are like, what do you do for work? And I'm like, well, I traveled to events, did coverage, yeah, and I DJed, and I also did this live thing. But now I just do the live thing. And then they're like, what is it? And I'm like, well, what is it? That's a great question. That's a great question. Anyway, my point
it's a Ren Fair, but nobody gets dressed up. And we just roll a bunch of dice. But everything else is a Ren Fair. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ren Fair. Do you guys have Ren Fairs in the UK?
We don't call them Ren
Fairs. Do you just
fairs.
Call it like walking about?
They just call them fairs. It's a normal ass fair.
Are you so our Renaissance fairs, which is what's being talked about, are Renaissance fairs like, are they reenactments because we have those, or are they like
yeah, you guys just have like War of the Rose reenactments and you just decapitate somebody all the time.
I see.
Yeah. Like Duncan Rhodes is a big like Napoleonic War reenactor, big into that. So
I see it.
We don't have. I don't think we have all the accompanying parts, but we do have places in the UK we can visit where they're like, this is what a village looks like in 1600, and some people are like cosplaying. I don't think that's what it's called. You know, they're like hired actors.
Historical and... interpreters.
Mm, exactly. Yeah, we have those, but we don't have we don't have 40k Ren Fairs. I want one now. That would be great. My point was, when I'm explaining to these people what I do, and then I say, the biggest one in the world is normally at this Las Vegas Open. It's in Las Vegas. And they're like, that's such a weird place for loads of nerds to get together. And I'm like, it kind of makes sense if you understand everyone's just drinking sort of a situation. And I was like, I was wondering, what do you think that the most other weird place to, or maybe good or great place to hold super majors would be, if not for Las Vegas?
Rock of Gibraltar, strangest 40K place.
Yeah, the fact that that's a thing is pretty crazy. Although it's not really super major status. I mean, yeah.
Dude, hey, they had a full blown major all set to go lined up. Let's do this end of March, and then it got blowed up.
It's
they
true.
They had a big boy tournament ready to go, not just a YouTuber retreat. Rob, how come you haven't gone to the to Gibraltar yet?
Mr. Stephen Pardo offered, but it clashed with another event I was doing coverage for. So unfortunately.
Bummer.
It was bummer. I think he thinks I'm a knob now. But, like, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, they just crash. So, like, what can I do?
Well, you tell him he's a knob.
He's there. A nice guy. I've met him. He's
I'm not telling
nice.
Him he's a knob. I'm pretty sure he does MMA.
He's a knob. Boom.
No, I really liked it. He's a super nice guy. I met him when he was over at Warhammer World, a 40K event. I think he was playing something. He was a nice guy anyway. Really fun.
So, here we go. Clark County. The county that Las Vegas, Nevada is in, currently rocking 3,327 COVID-19 cases per 100,000 residents.
It's quite high.
75,000 confirmed cases in the history of COVID. So, you know, things are heating up.
Can I just say that if 40K after COVID like really skyrockets, there's obviously like doing live coverage, which would be something I'd like to do, but I'd quite like to also just be the man in the field with the mic. You know, the like, and I mean not in like where they're what everyone's playing, the outside. Like, hey, it's Rob again. 30 days until the LVO. I can't wait.
Just asking people as they go by. Yeah. How excited are you for this year's LVO? I don't know, man. Get away from me.
Anyway, so Rock of Gibraltar is a weird place. Can you not think of anywhere weird? I'd like
Brandon,
it to be done.
Brandon, Manitoba. Every time one of their events come up, I shout it out because I hitchhiked across Canada once, and I got picked up at the intersection that is Brandon, Manitoba, which is in the middle of the Great Plains of Canada, and it's the type of place where this is a very Canadian joke. You can see your dog run away for 3 days, and and it's just an amazing place. And I can't believe that there are 80 people. Within driving distance of Brandon, Manitoba, that want to play Warhammer, and somehow they did.
Well, that Northern Front team is actually getting pretty big, so they build like those numbers up.
Like Manitoban 40K players have got to be right up there with Perth, Australia, as far as like most isolated metas. Like it's really funny.
In the chat, I mean, that's good. In the chat, Art War 40K Down Under says we run a major in Tasmania called the Convict Con. And only 40K players with a criminal record can attend. That's unique.
I think he's laying one on there. I think he's. Oh, yeah.
I think he's taking the piss, as they say.
Oh my God, that's what a wanker.
If you can't believe a random Australian from the internet, what can you believe?
It's true.
I've met him, and he was in a singlet, and I thought we shared body sweat. How dare he? That's not fair.
You've met Adam Camilleri? Where did you meet Adam?
I met Adam and Iffy, like my first trip.
Oh, you
CanCon.
Were down there. That's right. Yeah. You were doing the AOS coverage.
CanCon were... this year.
Yeah.
In Adelaide. Like, what are they doing?
Yes.
Like, the worst place in Australia. And that's saying something. You have to work to be the worst in Australia.
I don't know. I mean, I got a lot of friends in Australia, like from all over. So I got no territories I could probably dig at. So even worse,
I have
Australia.
To say, relative success in keeping the COVID down and, you know, some people I wouldn't mind seeing again in my lifetime has, for the first time ever, made me interesting in traveling down under.
Oh, really?
Like,
why?
Well, because they're not all dying of this horrible disease and there's nice people there.
That's true.
I just before that, I'd never cared to ever go to that blighted rock.
I mean, I priced a ticket to Adelaide just so I could see an actual Warhammer event this year. It's only $6,000 for me to fly.
Oh my God. Wait, is that Canadian dollars though?
$6,000 Canadian dollars to fly from Edmonton. So I'd have to drive 8 hours to get to Adelaide.
Wow.
Let's see. Toronto to Adelaide.
So just have a huge tournament in Australia and use the proceeds to subsidize Australian Games Workshop price increases.
Pardon me. Yeah, but you're also not super bitter and complaining all the time. I don't know why I have to. Maybe that's why I have to, because I got to represent for all those poor Australians.
I agree. Do you think? Again, I lost my train of thought. This is not going well for me today. Oh, come on, Rob.
It's okay, Rob. Rob, we're here for you.
Thanks, buddy.
This show has never been about having structure.
Can I ask a question? Because I was reading the Necron.
We're done.
I'm going to do it anyway. I was watching the Necron. I was reading the Necron book, and then I watched that dickhead Brian from Tabletop Titans. And is that man like a robot? He is like so fucking like switched on. Like, and I'm like, is it like the Matrix? Like someone's in. I was like, fuck you, buddy. Like, you're a smart motherfucker. And I didn't.
Why are we picking a fight with Brian Pollan?
Just because he was just really fucking good, and he just pissed me off. Like,
that's Brian. I mean, I used to joke a lot that if he and Brandon Grant were in the same room, like the computational back and forth, there'd be sparks and explosions. No one know how to handle it if they had a conversation. Because he really is like that, although he is chilling out quite a bit on the Tabletop Titans stream. I watch a good number of them. But yeah, the dude knows his stuff.
At least he dresses like shit. That's the only thing I've got on him. Like, he looks
and
fucking
his
awful.
Sweater vests, I miss them so much. I wish he brought them back. They're coming. They're coming, I'm told. Once California is less on fire, we'll see more of the old sweaters, and I'll be happy about that. But yeah.
Yeah, but honestly, that's the only thing that's really annoyed me about 40K this week, how incredibly talented that man is, and I want to, like, dick punch him. Not like, and then cuddle him. Just be like, you're brilliant, and then, you know, wander off.
They've got such a good dynamic on that show now between, like, the robotic Brian, the, like, JoJo posing Adrian, and then you got Bridger behind the scenes just trying to keep it all together. And if only they were actually good at every army they played. That's really
I like.
But you can't be. Anyway.
No, you can't. Sorry. No, and I know. I wish they could be.
I think you've made it in doing shows when you have like a ethereal producer voice that just pops up on your show every now and again that you can't see. And they just sort of poke into the conversation every now and again because they're running the board. That's
we
when you
need
made
one
it.
For the adjacent show.
Yeah, man. We need a booth DJ for the adjacent show for sure. And every now
just
and then they can
interrupt us and correct us about like the things we're talking about. You can just be like, caimans are not small alligators. And then just
ideally they sound like a member of the Games Workshop studio. So they caimans are not alligators. Something like that.
That was a perfect Adam Troke, by the way. I just want to let
you
know. That's exactly
appreciate
how
that.
It sounds.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Did you guys catch the previews at the weekend?
No, I had no interest because I knew nothing that I cared about would be on them.
And I do enjoy the title of your show that I immediately swiped left on my podcast app. But it was great. The 2-hour Snarkathon. I thought that was fantastic.
It was fun. We had a nice time. It was straight off the Army Painter show. So it struggled me a bit. But also Val and Falcon, because I know that you have a deep love for fantasy. I can't believe neither of you picked up Baldur's Gate yet.
I'm just waiting for the full release.
It's good enough, I think, personally. That's like.
I heard Reese talking about this, and I seem to remember Baldur's Gate from when I was a wee lad.
I played the shit out of Baldur's Gate 1. I've purchased Baldur's Gate 2 probably 5 times and never finished it. But, like, I've actively purchased that game multiple times for no reason. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited for 3. And I've watched some streams. One of my current favorite improv comedians, Thomas Middleditch, has been playing it on Twitch, and he's a very funny man. So I do enjoy. I've watched a few minutes of him trying to get through it. Makes me happy.
I love a good English surname like that.
He's 100% American.
Middleditch. Anything with ditch in it is just makes me think of him just being a mud farmer somewhere.
Val, you should check him out on Netflix. There's the Schwartz and Middleditch, I think it's called. It's like a little comedy improv series they have. It's like 4 episodes long where they just go into theaters and do pure improv based off what people yell at them. Very old-timey.
Lovely.
I love it.
Baldur's Gate originally released in 1998. I thought this is one of those games that PC Gamer used to always just wax poetic about all the time.
It's basically Dungeons and Dragons.
It's 100%. Yeah. Like,
that's our new Val. You set up the tradition of the Sunday gaming day, so that's our new game, and it is outrageous fun. Outrageous.
You guys you still do game streams?
Yeah. Every Sunday. We've
you guys have been playing games every Sunday this whole time?
This whole time.
They just stopped inviting you. They like 100% were like, let's stop with this Val thing. It's too much.
You had a baby. Keeps,
I know, but then like I came back like 2 weeks later.
Also, you would know if you ever tuned in, like, or listened to anything, you would have known that.
I listen. You don't publish. Well, obviously, you don't publish the soundtrack of you guys playing games on Sundays, so I just sort of forgot about it because I don't primarily engage with you on Twitch. By the way, you sort of referenced the fact that you're now broadcasting to multiple platforms. When did mm-hmm. that start happening?
I'm trying to like, ow. I don't know. Like, if I'm honest with you, like, I just like to try and do better, and also, you know, get the numbers up. If I'm being honest, like, I just mm-hmm. sometimes get a bit bummed. I look at it and I'm like, oh. Like, not loads of people have listened, but I super value everyone who does. And I get that we're quite off the cuff, some quite strong opinions, you know. But I feel like I don't want to throw any shade, but I watched this one fucking guy do a YouTube video where he's going through the Necron book. And I was like, and he hasn't got any other videos. It's like just a clickbait title. And I was like, and it was fucking awful. And I said it's like Nick, and I was like, look at this. And he was like, I don't know, dude, maybe people just think we're shit. And to be honest, it's across all of our shows. So like, it's the, like, you know, you talk about the Monday show, everyone's like, Nathan, yeah, Dan, yeah, James, yeah. And then Thursday, everyone's like, Nick, Tom, yeah. So I think like the key factor of the reason the shows don't do well is me. Like, it's the consistent factor, like wherever we go. And so I'm just going to have to just take that and just, for the lunatics that do like me, I'm just going to have to love them. And
was the show you watched Hellstorm Wargaming?
No, it wasn't.
Zing.
Zing.
I'm just waiting for the tweet from Mikey in like 20 minutes, because I'm sure that's all he waits for is for someone to mention his podcast.
He is going.
He just lives for it.
He is going full court press on every potential possible media form. The only thing it doesn't have is like a written blog at this point, as far as
that's
I know.
True. Well, it's because that's an old timey way of doing business is blogs.
Well, like a Goonhammer, right? Maybe that's your problem, Rob. That's it. Get a goon. Just make a Goonhammer.
Well, invite Winter's SEO to your house and play a game of Warhammer.
It's an option.
The thing is, I've been super focused. I think Pete brings up the right. I know what the goal is. Pete brings it up. Like, I love what the Tabletop Titans guys do. I think it's excellent. And I think, like, if I could, I would like to do that for, like, Age of Sigmar, maybe even also 40K. That would just be sweet, right? He's playing games with these sweet-ass armies. You got to do all the research, but it's really good. But I think, not to be critical, because I'm not, because, again, love nothing but love. I think the best version of that is the live coverage at events, because you get the very best players playing those armies in the very best way. And if I can perfect that, which is what the goal of this is, I was never trying to be like a content creator, if you know what I mean. Like mm-hmm. what's the best YouTube thumbnail and like what's the clickbaity title and, you know, that sort of jazz. That whole idea is and the whole gear of the Honest Wargamer is like set up to like, what's the best way we can eventually perform this like live service for people. So after
I thought
COVID,
the point was to transcend existence and live on the internet. I thought that was what you were trying to do here.
I thought you were trying to become part of the bourgeoisie, and this was your way in.
Look, guys, there's a limited guest list. I'll see if I can talk to the bouncer. His name's Rob. He's really friendly. Maybe
folks at home, we're just trying to get into Val's hipster yacht club for only boats from the 1970s. You guys have missed out on a whole half of this conversation, but that's what's going on.
It's a sailing club, okay? It's not a yacht club. It is a proletariat.
Sailing several club. Sailing boats, but they're not allowed to be newer than the 1970s. They have to be antiques. And
if you knew what my dad's boat looked like,
it's a very exclusive club.
My I want to say boat. Though, can I just say though that I do deeply appreciate and love everyone who supports the show, and especially I think one of my favorite parts about everything we've done ever so far is the army painter thing the other day. You know, Adam trusted me. He was like, we helped present my stream. And I'm like, okay, it's for a business. Got to be serious. And it was fun. It was on their Facebook. It was on their YouTube. And like, that was all. There was some nice, like, what do you think of the color blue? You know, stuff like that. It was lovely. And then my Twitch chat was just a riot of wankers. And I loved it. And I was like, it's a very specific type of humor to join that chat. But I'm here for it. Anyway, but I deeply love everyone who's a part of this process. So I don't know. Some days it just feels like, meh. Like that Sword and Steel lady, what an angel. Let's talk about that. She did her Gargant review, and it was like 2.5 hours of just talking to the screen, 3 times as many views as my YouTube video. Like, I was like, fuck!
And she nailed it. She really... Even the 5 minutes with you, where she explained like the competitive value of a Mega Gargant or whatever it was, mm-hmm. Dude, I was sold. I almost bought 3 of them right there. You can kick objectives, Rob.
You can kick objectives.
I've heard that. I've heard that's you pretty
can. OP. Kick objectives.
On average, a distance of 7
said
inches.
They were bad. You said they were bad. You can kick a fucking objective. Just think
specific
about that.
Specific quote is worst battle tape ever, but. That's a specific quote.
You know, Robert, I don't know why no one listens. Sometimes I don't know why I listen. And
people do listen. We've got we had a million downloads last year on the podcast.
That's fucking awesome.
So I'm pretty happy with that.
No, but like, I mean, even like the shows that we do, like I get annoyed. I get frustrated. Like there is definitely an art to promoting your stuff. That I don't understand, and maybe we should all just dedicate 30 minutes to Googling this, and we can get more people involved.
Yeah, I think Stay Handsome's made it in the chat, which is the point. The hardest part about doing live coverage tournament is the players aren't trying to entertain; they're too zoned in. And I'm still set on that. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Live events where if we can make it as entertaining as what you see on something like Tabletop Tactics or Tabletop Titans or any of those other things, like but live, so it's those gamers at the top of their peak.
Sorry to cut you off, but like, yes, it can suck when you have people that are too into it, but people watch fucking snooker.
Snooker!
Right? Have you ever...
One of the best snooker players in the world is a huge 40K fan. He might be in the chat right now.
Have you ever seen two of them play, like, they're not providing a play-by-play on what the hell's going on, right? Like, that's where people like Rob come in. Like, seriously. You tried to watch a snooker game without commentary? No, you don't.
When my dad has a shitty boat out of the water from the 1970s, he literally goes home and watches snooker videos on YouTube. So, Yes, people
with
can
commentary,
watch any.
I imagine it's not just silence and people like wandering around a table for 20 minutes.
No, he watches the game in 30 minutes. But anyway, that's another thing that they do. Like, there are people in the snow. This is actually an interesting thing because I talked to my dad about this because I'm like, I play an incredibly boring game that shocks me that anyone watches. And he's like, I play a boring game that shocks me that anyone watches. I'm like, okay, great. We can relate now. And there are people in the snooker community, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Rob's done.
That will take like the tournament events and cut them down. So like there's just people whose like hobby it is to edit down all the snooker stuff. So you get like I don't know how long a snooker game is. Maybe it's fucking, let's call it 2 hours. I don't know. And they'll chop it down so that it's just the shots. And I feel like we need a hero. We just need like a really passionate editor for Rob.
Yeah. So if one of you guys are a passionate editor, please get in touch with me. That'd be great.
Exactly. Rob's dead, everybody. Spear Street. How far did we get? We got to.
What was the number?
214.
70.
Look, that snuck up on me. That snuck. Sorry, everyone.
He's in tears. For those people listening, instead of seeing, apparently, I believe he usually says, "Stay hydrated." Also, Rob is crying. And the new hosts of The Honest Wargamer, Val Heffelfinger and Peter Colosimo. Looking forward to talking to all of you on a weekly basis. Probably not. Probably more like every 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks whenever we get around to it. It tends to be our broadcast schedule.
It'll be fun. Are we going now? Is that the plan?
I mean, do you have anything else to talk about? I mean, I can keep talking here.
Oh, no. I'd love to keep talking to you both on air or off air. So whatever you want to talk about, like what's on your mind?
Well, I didn't know that snooker would be the thing that. By the way, chat's criticizing how we're saying snooker, and I don't understand what's wrong.
Yeah,
is that
like
what's
snooker?
Making
that's
you
how
laugh?
We pronounce it. Snooker. I mean, if I don't know like how to emphasize the O anymore, snooker, snooker.
Is that why Rob is dying?
Snooker? Because
you have to say is it because it's like duck? Is it because it's like duck? Because you like snook?
Yeah, that's how we. Is that a bad, like, that's just not how we do it down there or over there?
That's why you're crying. You're crying laughing at our regional accent. Is that what is happening right now? Look at this story. Look at this story. Snoopy. Snooker. Snooker? That's what it's supposed to be? Snooker? Really?
Snooker. That's, like, why would you put that much effort into that word?
That is.
I don't know why you put that much effort into the game, if I'm honest. Ooh.
That's funny. I was. This has been. It's been a long time since I've been laughed at, and not known why. And this feels a bit like grade school. And
I'm okay with it. I love
good
it.
Morning to you, sir.
It's okay. I said to Scrivo earlier. I was like, we're gonna start renaming the show, so it'll just be like the subject of whatever the show was. And he was like, oh, give me an example. And I was like, well, you know, like instead of just calling it the 40K Adjacent Show, we'd be like. The 40K Adjacent Show, where we talk about placenta or bread rolls.
Good one.
But this one is now snooker. which will probably saying, lower the clicks. That'll probably lower the clicks because no one will understand it. Snooker.
Snooker. Really?
Mm-hmm. That sounds so weird.
Are you
Does
scone
weird?
Or scone? Are you
that
scone
sounds
or scone?
Weird.
Scone.
Scone. Okay.
Scone. Yeah.
I've had enough.
It makes sense because it's nook. It does make sense. That's funny. Were you making a point about it? I think it was something about editing. It's too late.
Well, Val made an editing point. We nailed the points. One
right,
was
perfect.
That people don't like watching, think that it's hard to watch 40K when like the pro players don't talk much. And then, but people watch other games that are boring as F if you don't know what's going on. That's why you have commentators. And then Val was like, that's why we need somebody to edit things down. And there are people that have been doing it, but I don't think they're as mainstream as they should be. And I think that we need people that are like also dedicated to the cause to do it as well, right? It has to be like a team effort, a community effort.
I also legitimately, like to one of Rob's points earlier, and this is like, hey, Anyone out there who's in our chat or listening to this in the podcast, reach out. How does SEO work? Because there's so much content on like YouTube, and it's harder to tell how much, how many listens you get on like a podcast. Generally speaking, it's hard to tell. It's hard to get good metrics. But like on YouTube, you get really good data on who's listening and watching. And I'll see stuff that gets 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 views. And like Rob was saying, like, why? And versus other stuff, and not just like stuff that we produce, but like other videos of people who either I know or that I consume or watch, and they'll have like 2,000. And there seems to be some that are really range bound where like the YouTube algorithm just doesn't present them. So I guess maybe it's, I don't know. I'd be really interested to go a little deep on this just as a little fun experiment to see like what are ways to improve that.
Yeah. I think there's, again, like it's not something I'm like fascinated about. Like, whereas right now I feel like I've got with the Super Series stuff. So one of the things I'm excited about, like I was telling you guys before, is doing terrain. And that's because it's directly going to be for the 40K Super Series. So having 40K matches every week here at the venue that we can commentate on, because the venue's built for that. It's not built for doing a bat rep. It's built to have people play live games and then do commentary on it. So I'm super, super excited about that. And then once we get enough made, obviously like doing that editing down and then working through that process, that's also going to be really exciting as well, because you can't really edit through something that there's not enough stuff. And you also need like relevant data. Like I was talking to Diffie about it. Like you need, and also Ziggy, if he's in the chat, we had like a long, long chat about like capturing data through the game. Like something like ITC Battles is fine, but it still doesn't give you like enough relevant data that like if you wanted to do some sort of like post analysis back, that's quite hard to achieve. You would need like more. You would maybe have to watch the entire thing through and then condense the what happens and the whens, if that makes sense, and then do a supercut.
I think you're talking about how to actually make a good show. I think that's a mutually exclusive point to doing better on YouTube and getting people to actually be presented with your content. I think there's two very different things. I think that like whatever it is that allows like your podcast or your post to YouTube or a thing that you put on Facebook, whatever, to be presented to more people has nothing to do with how good that content is. There are other elements, I think, that are not being leveraged. Because there's like, there are people who have like really basic bitch shit that is okay, that, you know, gets good traction and stuff. And like, no insult to them. I'm also a creator of basic bitch shit. I'm just less good at getting in front of people. So I don't know. Like, for example, no, I don't want to put these things right next to each other. But even if you look at the Frontline Gaming Network lineup, because there's a bunch of podcasts on there right now, which right immediately, maybe that's a problem, that to have everyone on the same fucking feed. Maybe shows need to be separated. I don't know. But when you look at those shows, like Chapter Tactics crushes all the other shows, destroys them. Like probably twice as many listeners a show. And like in a lot of cases. And I'm just, I wonder why, because they all sort of have a similar vibe. And I just, does it just come down to the fact that Pablo's better at writing titles? It literally might be that simple.
I think I'd like to think it isn't, though. I think that there is something to be said for the casual wargamer being far more interested in how-to scenarios than anything else that's on that network. And I think it plays out as well with all of these other like bat rep shows and everything else, right? The guys that get the most views tend to be the ones that are like at their most basic. Even Tabletop Titans, they try to dumb everything down as much as possible. They're not running like hardcore lists. They intentionally tailor lists that are a little softer that someone might have at home that they can play. And so they're more apt to get like more investment from people because the game is extremely complicated and has hundreds of, you know, thousands of interactions. And so the average person is just way more interested in like, how do I do these very basic concepts? And so you have something like Chapter Tactics, which almost every episode is like, here's the most basic kind of thing we can talk about right now and discuss versus, you know, Art of War, which is here's this extremely competitive person breaking down a list at the highest level of gameplay. And I think that's why we see like a differential in views there. And then
it'd be hard to argue that the adjacent show is not basic. I mean, we're probably as basic as it gets. We should be stars by your logic.
I think something like Tabletop Titans is actually fairly unique. No disrespect to something like Tabletop Tactics, which I also think is like a very high quality level. But I think they also came in and also prodigious volume of work as well. Not only is it like great quality content, it's also like a continuous amount of great quality content, mm-hmm. which I think is like, I think that is in of itself. I don't think when I'm having a conversation about that, I'm not really talking about them, because I think just what they do is excellent. And when we did the Super Series, like it was like everyone was like, yay, this is great. And like, and we've developed like a really quality, like Thursday shows, Monday shows, like super quality. I love it. Like, and there's a bunch of people now live, like we do the Stream Street, and I think that's really fun. It's just like, if nothing else, it's just a great chance to blow off steam talking about the hobby for a while, which I think is also a real big positive as well. And I'm a big, big fan of that. I think ultimately, like, I think it's just, I'm just maybe bummed out because COVID has hit the nail on the head on the thing. Like, I was meant to be, we would have done the WTC coverage this year. Like, that would have been yeah. amazing. You know, like, we'd have been back over at CCBB. We'd have been in Sweden for some Age of Sigmar events with Denmark. Like, we'd have been, like, you know, we would be like, well, we're going up to CanCon. Like, so we would have been doing the thing that we, like, we're set up to do and we're excited about. And then really the other shows are just to blow off steam talking about those shows. Like, you know, yeah. And I hope eventually when it all gets back to it, that's where it happens. You've got professional TSN and then just come here and smack talk about snooker.
Snooker.
I would also say, I'll say it like that forever. I promise everyone I'll say snooker forever. Just like that. Just for you.
It feels like I'm saying it wrong.
It does. It feels really terrible. And I hate myself every time. But I'll do it for you. For the fans. But I feel you, Rob. I mean, I probably spent 2 or 3 months just super bummed about thinking about all these events that I was supposed to go to. I mean, I got 3 weeks of vacation coming up here in like 2 days that were all based around me traveling for, you know, 3 weeks to events. My August vacation time, like where I had like a month off, was exactly the same thing where I kind of sat at home and was like, well, you know, I should be in Vienna right now, or I should be in Ottawa. Like that, there was such a string of
never said beside each other in the history of language.
But I mean, it was like, I had like this whirlwind August planned where I was going to like 6 events in 6 very different places. So I was going to be exhausted, but I was so excited. And now it's like, well, I don't think I'll get to do anything, right? I was supposed to go to Charity Hammer in January. Charity Hammer's probably still happening, but it's going to be very insular, I imagine, at this point. LVO, I mean, even if it happens, I probably won't be able to go because I'll have to quarantine for like 18 weeks on either side of it to make that even happen. So it's a real bummer. We had LVO this last year where I felt like we did such a good job with the Ocho and had so many plans. And they all got kind of torn apart immediately, right? Mm. And so, yeah, I definitely feel you. It was a big bummer. And I'm only kind of now kind of getting out of that funk about it, where it's like, well, people are still playing. The game is actually in a really good spot. And I'm trying to be super hopeful as long as they can get their app shit together. And if they don't, I'll eventually just have to start ignoring it and pretending it's not a thing. And then I'll be super happy forever.
Join me. It's a great little bubble that you live inside. You just talk about the game and you're like, someone's like the app, you're like, shut up. Shut up.
Fuck you.
You fuck off.
Do you watch Snooker?
Snooker doesn't have an app. That's the truth. Doesn't need one. Should we head out for the day? Because I'm just conscious that Pete needs to get some sleep.
That's fine. I need to go nurse my ego after this snooker incident and the snooker incident. There you go. There's a title for your podcast. You stick that
snooker
in your
incident
in your peep and smook it.
And then we just super hope that there's been like a competitive snooker incident somewhere else in the world at the same time.
Oh, man, you rack it up.
Rack it up. They would have to listen to nearly 45 minutes before they get to the snooker incident.
That's fine. That's how clickbait works. People are like, oh, man, I really want to hear about the snooker problem.
Can I just say, like, to everyone listening, wherever it might be, and specifically to you two, it doesn't really
tell
matter.
Tell a friend.
It doesn't matter because actually I love talking to you two, and I appreciate both of your friendship and just you as individuals, so thank you. And I appreciate everyone in the show as well, like hilarious, like everyone who watches live or like leave some comments. And I like the Twitch thing. I like the comments. Like, it's my favorite bit. They're normally funnier than we are most of the time. Well, maybe not. True. you two are pretty funny, but they're funnier than me anyway, so big love to you guys. You guys are great. Have you got any shout outs before we head out?
No. Mostly I promote this show now.
Yeah, pretty much. I go on other shows to talk about this show because I think it's the best one I'm on. So
100%.
I'm not joking. I 100% think this show is better than everything else I do. So
I enjoy it. I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning to do this show. He wakes up even
4:30.
4:30.
Like 4:45.
So, yeah, we love this show.
Well, good. Next week, we won't be doing a pity party, so do join us next Tuesday. My pity party. Me. It was me. I was you, not you two.
Sweat.
Yeah, you two. Yeah, join us again for the rest of the week. Me and Nick and Tom are doing...
For your forehead, you can just wipe it with a bap.
All those Canadians still saying, Snucker, stay true to yourselves. Thank you, Born Again Manchild. I'll never stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. Snucker.
Thank you to everyone who joined Patreon. Joseph Joseph, thanks for joining Patreon, is all I'm going to say. Mr.
Yes, Skluff. Thank you, Joseph.
Yeah, podcast homies, stay hydrated. Val and Pete, thanks very much. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a nice day. Look after yourselves.
Bye-bye.